Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, Jackie Cation here. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's November or December of 2022. You're about to listen to the Dork Forest. My name is Jackie Cation. The website's, of course, jackiecation.com, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you enjoy a determiner. Anyway, November and December, I ask that you do not donate to the Dork Forest, that instead you donate to your local food bank, because it's a nice holiday kind of wintery thing to do. And if you don't know where your local food bank is, you can go to feedingamerica.org, or you can Google the words that are your town's name and the word food bank. Hey, sarcasm. JackieCation.com is where everything is linked. Like if you go to dorkforest.com, you can see all the notes and it'll link you to the YouTube videos for the Dork Forest and the and Apple podcasts, and it's on Stitcher. It's on all the things. Anyway, so JackieCation.com will link you to everything. Dork Forest will link you back to JackieCation.com and to everything else. There is merch. If you have some sort of holiday wish to purchase a Dork Forest t-shirt, the logo is now on a black shirt with the logo in that bright green that the Ranger t-shirt used to be. Sold out of the Ranger shirts, discontinued. Also, I have some stand-up shirts that are squish t-shirts. If you wanted a Meat Shield t-shirt, I have limited sizes left, but that's still a benefit for to help immigrants and anti-racism stuff. So if you want, go look around JackieCation.com store for your store needs. I also have a new album out that's playing almost nowhere. That's right, because of legal issues with something called Spoken Giants. Very disappointing. So the special itself is on YouTube, on the 800-pound gorilla YouTube channel, linkable off of JackieCation.com. You could also get a DVD or a CD at JackieCation.com. The CD itself is listenable at places where you can buy it. So at Apple iTunes and at Amazon Music. You could also stream it there. If you buy it, I make more money. But if you want to stream it, do whatever you want. But it's not on Pandora. It's not on Spotify. It's not on Sirius XM. And neither are my four other albums. But do whatever you want because it's your life. There we go. What else is happening? I'm touring. I'm doing a lot of stand-up on the road. Feel free to come. Feel free to sign up for the email list at JackieCation.com. Harder to get on because you got to find how you put it in then to get off, which is you scroll and hit unsubscribe. But all of these things are available on JackieCation.com. I'm coming to do stand-up probably near you, if not near you, near someone you love. Tell them. Anyway, let's dork out about something. Let's get into the show. Hello and welcome. Jackie Cation in my garage. That's right. Hello, Rangers of the Dork Forest. I'm hanging out with Lauren Chestnut. That's right. Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, sketch and improv, funny. And it is, it's Chestnut with no T, C-H-E-S-N-U-T. And when you told me, you said it's C-H-E-S-N-U-T, which I thought was smart because people jumped to the T. Mm-hmm. So Lauren, mm-hmm. spelled like Lauren, Chestnut, spelt like chestnut, but no T. And her Twitter handle is Dino Lauren Rex Nut. So DinoLaurenRexNut. It will be in the notes. Welcome to the program, Lauren Chestnut.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I was like, just a list of things that you really like. We'll dork out about them. I want to hear. The Postal Service jumped to me because I too love the Postal Service. When DeJoy took over, I bought things that I've never worn that I did give to Andy. The 100th anniversary of air travel happened in 2020 during lockdown. Ooh. And so he wears that t-shirt that I bought from USPS.merch, whatever. What do you like about the Post Office?
I do love the post office, the postal service.
You admire their work, but
Oh, but also, like, the main thing is I just love sending mail. Like, that's my thing. I love to send mail.
Okay. Well, I'm obsessed you're going to get it. You're going to get mail from me.
That's very exciting.
So do you like to give and receive the actual physical use of the postal service? Oh, mm-hmm. What do? Are you a pen pal? Do you write letters? Do you send cards?
All of the above.
Really?
Yes. So I have always kind of liked sending mail, like physical mail. And I like when I go, especially because, so I live in Minnesota, but I grew up in Washington State. So okay. I've been far from my family and like my high school friends and stuff.
Look at you, forever. Having high school friends.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
I still send mail to one or two of them, but,
nice.
But yeah. And then I lived in Ohio for a while. So I have friends all over. And I just love to send mail. I used to color people pictures all the time. That was kind of my signature thing.
Did you draw those pictures and then color them and then mail them? Or did you get like a coloring book, rip it out and go, this is a fire truck. Let's do this.
It's a thing my sister and I started doing at some point. Take a coloring book, mostly for kids. And I specifically was a Barbie coloring book that it started with. And we just started writing like snarky captions and like adding things to the pictures that made them like violent or
super sexy,
inappropriate. Right. Yeah.
You could draw a dick on the face of a coloring book Barbie all day long. That's good times. Well, you don't have to get drunk with Barbie. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, we were Mormon teens, so we didn't draw dicks on anyone. We weren't past murder or anything. So.
No. Did you ever draw the books that were lost? Did you ever draw that? No?
Are you talking about the 110 lost pages of the Doctrine and Covenants?
Yes.
I think it's 110. It's been a...
I have no idea how many. All I know is that there was some, he said, I swear to God, I remember what they said. And it's a lot like that scene in Guys and Dolls when Big Julie says that he remembers that he wants to play craps, but he has dice that don't have any dots on it. And he says, I remember where they were.
Sure.
So, turns out he got a 7. Anyway, so, what did you draw on Barbie? You still knew that it was patriarchy, right? It still wasn't. What were you?
Sure. Well, there's a reason I'm not Mormon anymore. And neither is my sister.
it's a hard row.
But what would we draw? We would just like draw them saying like mean, like really insidious things to each other.
This or couldn't be more Mormon, the nicest people in the world until it gets creepy. But you're just like, well, I just something mean, you know? And right.
Or we draw like a puddle of blood coming out from under Ken's Corvette.
Sure. Because Ken,
stuff like that.
Ken's dark. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did the coloring book pages for years and years, and I still have way too many coloring books.
Okay.
But I kind of lost, it wasn't exciting for me anymore. Mm-hmm. So I used to send those a lot, like with a note, but I've gotten really into cute cards.
Uh-oh.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
See, this is actually a skill set, I believe, is being able to pick the right card. Because the card, do you go to the grocery store or a card shop and there's rows and rows of cards? Is that how you pick cards? Is that where you go to get cards? Okay. What are you, swear to God, I go in and I was like, I want there to be a birthday card. And I wouldn't mind it to be funny, but please don't be either horrible or hacky or just dumb. Or dumb is the best of the lot sometimes where I'm like, this is kind of goofy. But so what, you're not just buying birthday cards. You're buying all the cards? How are you browsing? Yes. Okay.
Okay. So I do have, I didn't bring them in the office with me, but I just have a supply of cards. I have a bunch of birthday cards. I have welcome baby cards. I have thank you cards. I have happy retirement. I have at least one. I have I miss you cards. And I have them separated out in little categories.
Yeah.
And it's very pleasing to me.
What are those categories? Are they just basic categories?
Yeah.
Do any of the categories get weird?
I mean, some are kind of miscellaneous. Like, here's a card with a weird animal on it that I just thought was amusing. And it's not for any particular occasion.
Are they all standard sized cards? Like, what, I have a card that I've wanted to send to somebody. It's a tiny weird, it's a square. It's a small square. Mm-hmm. It has its own envelope and it's a piece of pizza with googly eyes. And nice. It's got all kinds of potential for being just a weird thing for someone to open. And how do you know how much postage? Let me ask some real basics here. How do you know you ever go with a weird size card and then you got to take it to the post office and figure out how to mail it?
Yes. So sometimes you'll get a card that's got like, it's really thick. Like it has like a pop-up or something, or like a bunch of glitter or something. So it's big and it will say usually on the envelope, like may require extra postage. I usually just slap 2 forever stamps on there. It's fine.
Okay. Oh, good for
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause that's a buck 10 right now, I think.
Yes.
So, okay. So if I put a forever stamp on a tiny, they'd probably figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. And like sometimes they charge more for square because it's non-standard size.
Right.
So you couldn't go wrong putting 2 stamps on it.
It's true. I've got that kind of money. I have an extra 55 cents sitting around. I don't mail it. There's only one of them. So, okay. So when you go to the store, do you usually end up gravitating toward the card racks?
100%. Yeah. Like it's gotten really bad in the past few years. And I've gotten my husband into it too. Like he sends cute cards now. There's a couple shops we go to here in the Twin Cities. One's called I Like You, which is in Northeast Minneapolis.
Okay.
And their sister store is I Like You Too, which is here in St. Paul. And they have, it's like a store that's like, it's built for me.
Like, right.
Like a liberal kind of sarcastic, nearing middle-aged woman who's liberal.
Here's the thing. And so some people's dorkdoms are never like they're the thing that you're like, well, that's what my mom likes or that's what my aunt likes, and you're like, yes, but I liked it when I was 11 and and I'm so sorry that I was your mom when I was 11, but I still love it. I still love it. And I'm just growing into it right now. And so I Like You and I Like You Too. Essentially we're talking, they might have an occasional tchotchke as well. They got a little,
Well, they have, it's not like traditional cutesy. It's snarky cutesy.
Sure.
So it's a little edgy. You might have swear words on your tchotchkes. There's a lot of Minnesota and Twin City themed items.
They have
cool t-shirts.
Okay.
That say like, keep St. Paul boring. I have that one.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. My sister would enjoy that. She lives in St. Paul and loves it dearly.
I love St. Paul.
Yeah. And in Mill Valley, California, I will tell you this. It's the Bay Area. Fancy pants, like the richest white people you've ever met in your life. Median age, 70. And like literally, if you see someone who isn't white, they've either been adopted or they work there. And the other thing is, so there's like a brick and mortar Eileen Fisher, Lauren. That is a sign of a great deal of wealth, because why is there a standalone Eileen Fisher, which is just an A-frame kind of loose, you're building a wardrobe. Anyway, there is one of those stores, but it's also super kind of political, like weird, like Hillary Clinton bobblehead with popcorn going, just watching on the sidelines and screw you people, right? This kind of, it's pretty great. Is it like that?
It's a little like that, but it's because there's a shop that's a lot like that in St. Paul called Avalon that is on Grand Avenue.
Okay.
It is for like liberal white ladies who serve on arts committees and have a sense of humor.
Right. Real specific. And, yes. And hopefully a sense of their own, they can laugh at themselves a little bit. That's right. Where it can get real ugly when we get into the middle-aged white lady liberal, which I'm a member, a proud member, Pink Okami. Yeah. And, got to make sure I'm not asking for the manager too many times. Just got to keep aware of how it looks to the world. For the first time in my life, I'm had to take a gander of how Whitey Magoos look to the rest of the world. And it's great. I'm growing as a person more. Sure. So what do you, what kind of cards? I've weeded us off of cards.
Sometimes I'll go in to get a card for like a specific person. Their birthday is coming up. I want to find something for them. And I can usually find something that I think will be funny. And I generally go for either funny or just kind of cute. I love a card that doesn't have anything on the inside. No words inside.
Right. Don't write the poem for me. It's usually brutal. And way too personal. Have you ever found that, especially sympathy cards?
Yes, I have found that. It is, it's like, if this is a...
you don't actually know them.
Right. Yes. We don't need to get that emotionally intimate. I want to express my sympathy, but I want it to sound like something I would say and not something that's inside a Dove candy wrapper or whatever.
Right. And how does Hallmark know? Like, I don't want you to think that this is exactly what I was thinking and they nailed it. And so all I can do is sign my name with a heart. I've driven on a heart and gone, Jackie, you'll see her in the future or whatever. It's like they'll be that she's happy. She's making God laugh on the other side. No. I'm going to cut you. This is what's going to happen. Anyway. I like a blank.
And you'll never see me give a card to someone that I just signed my name unless I hate them. like a coworker one that you had to sign. Yeah. But like I always write at least a sentence or two that's personal.
Okay.
I think that's, and it doesn't have to be, so people are always like, I don't know what to write when I send people mail. It's like, first of all, doesn't matter. Second of all, it came in the mail and they can hold it in their hands. That's the thing they love.
Right. That
it
is
can say just nonsense, just like, hey, thought of you. Here's a card. Hope you're good.
Right.
Amazing.
Here's a shiny piece of paper that it's genuine proof that you do like them because you had to find their address.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
Yeah. There are some people that I've sent them enough mail that I had to take their address from my like Instagram DMs and like made them an actual contact in my phone because I have to scroll back too far to find it from the time I asked them.
Right. I am currently in a pen pal kind of situation with an old friend from college who likes to send mail. And I don't know where she grew up in Minneapolis. I don't know where she gets some of the cards she gets. They're beautiful. They're just sort of, sometimes it's just like a pretty winter scene, but not like a Christmas kind of thing where it's all sharp and crystallized looking, but kind of a little messy kind of, you know, St. Paul kind of scene or Minneapolis kind of scene where you're like, look, the trucks came by 2 days ago. So the snow isn't perfectly white.
So, nope.
Yeah, but they're really very pretty. And they're real evocative of actual emotion. Like, I'm just like, I kept one of them because I throw mail out. I don't know about you. Even cards I get from people because I'm a monster.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
do you keep everything?
I didn't say it.
I keep
it at least for a while. Probably about a year or so. Actually, I put everything up on our kitchen door, but it's full right now. And I have a stack of more stuff because I joined a postcard exchange website. And now my mail is crazy.
So you put on the internet your address because you wanted to receive postcards, as did other people, and they wanted to receive postcards. And
right.
Now
I didn't just put it up like on Reddit or something. it's a service that like you have to be part of it and you have to send mail yourself in order for someone to get your address. And they have to like request an address and go through and claim you're not going to use it for exploitative purposes. Because
it's the now. Even back in the old timey days, people, I wonder where the first junk mail ever came from, kind of. Like, who was that gutsy salesperson? You know what? I think I'm just going to mail people an ad that says, I sell meat or whatever. They're not automated. These are all handwritten cards.
Yes.
So far.
Yeah. Well, sometimes people will type them up. I think especially if they're not native English speakers.
Okay.
They might.
Are you international? Is it international?
Yes. I've only signed up for English language ones.
Okay. Yeah.
I took a little Spanish and a tiny bit of Russian, but I can't compose a message.
Right. And what if they send you a long message? It will be, you could Google translate it, but it would be a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's anywhere in the world.
What website is that?
It's called Post Crossing.
Okay.
Postcrossing.com. Somebody on Twitter told me about it. Somebody in a group chat that for Trivia League I'm in.
That's another
cool thing to do.
Right.
Was like, oh, you love the mail? Have you done Post Crossing? And now I've worked my way up to, I can send 9 at a time. They start you at 5. They want to make sure you actually send them.
Right.
Because you register, there's a number you write on it with a country code and a number. And then when you receive one, you register it so they know you got that one.
Oh. And then that, so they sort of, they track it a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they, so that there's not either a glut of not happening or a glut of happening. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's kind of an interesting algorithm for them. Does it cost money, Postcrossing? Monthly? No, it's just social.
It's free.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can send us, like, if you don't feel like it, just don't send any and then you won't get any. But right. Like,
oh, you kind of get one for one.
Yes. So when you request someone's address, then I think you get put into whatever like randomizer they use to give to somebody else to send to you.
And what do you end up saying? Yeah.
So the amount you've sent, I think I've sent and received in the high 40s, and it usually stays about the same number.
Okay.
But to those people who are strangers, you can be even more generic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to say something a little bit personal and interesting.
Yeah.
But so it's not, because sometimes people will write just like happy post crossing. And I'm like, that's fine. I guess it came
it
from
happened.
Serbia and that's cool. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, but maybe it's because they might be people who are interested in what the image is. Like not so much the connection. They might just be interested in sort of collecting postcards from around the world, you know? And they're like, oh, look, I got a postcard from Minnesota, you know? And so they're not really writing. But I would want to write something like, hey, I saw a cool bird, you know?
Yeah. My thing right now, because I'm sending lots of Halloween themed mail.
Yep.
I was going to send it to a few people, turned into over 30. It's a problem.
That's a lot.
I have a lot of Halloween stickers, too, that I send stickers. Mm-hmm. That's also a problem I have because the same stores that sell the cute cards, mm-hmm. cute stickers.
Stickers are, I did a sticker episode of The Dork Forest, Fielding Edlow, if anyone wants to look that up. It was an amazing deep dive for me into the world of people who like stickers. Gonna weed off and ask you the question I like to ask people who like stickers a great deal. Do you like scratch and sniff? Do you like a novelty sticker? Puffy? Or are you looking for images?
I'm mostly looking for the images. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I honestly don't stick stickers on that much stuff. I just have like a huge collection of stickers and I mostly send them to other people.
Right.
So I'm kind of a sticker hypocrite. I'm giving other people stickers and I'm not
sticking stickers
on anything.
Sticker hoarder. I know. I have Andy got, my husband got a new laptop and he's got all these great stickers on it. Mm-hmm. And I have had this laptop for a long time. And much like cars, I don't want to put any stickers on it. I'm like, but it's going to ruin it. I'm like, what am I saving it for? It's like when I was a child, we were never allowed to use the Yahtzee paper. When we played Yahtzee, we had to reproduce the Yahtzee document onto a blank piece of paper so that we didn't use up the Yahtzee paper. And you look back at it and you're like, who are you saving the Yahtzee paper for? Nancy Kashian, you saving it for the queen? Queen coming over to play Yahtzee? That's when we're going to let the pre-printed stuff, we're going to pull it out real nice. And, but yeah, there's no reason for me not to have stickers on. Yeah, I'm going to, like, for example, right now, I'm going to show you. Andy's got some stickers, right?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
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 So he's got a friend who works at Jet Propulsion Lab. He has a bunch of friends. And they have this this is like their new telescope that they're all working on, Trailblazer or something. He enjoys a Hot Wheel, as you can imagine. Sure. I don't know what Kenner is. I feel like that's a toy or whatever. And just monsters and political statements. And then the two stickers I give away, your squish with whomever you wish and your dork forest. Very nice. I don't know why I insisted on showing that, but that's a reason to watch.
I love
YouTube,
it.
Everybody.
I have one sticker on my laptop and I have more.
Right.
That I think I'm going to put on there, but I haven't done it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I kind of want to take the Energy Star sticker off of mine, which is weird. feels rude, but so
the EPA won't know.
They won't know. It's like taking a tag off of the mattress. No, nobody's tracking you down. Mm-mm. So when you go for a funny or silly, is there one that you can remember? There's a couple of them. Andy's really good at picking. I think it's because when I go up to a rack of cards that are pre-printed, I feel I get judgmental. I'm just like, this isn't going to be funny, especially when they have the label funny. There's rows of ostensibly funny. And then
funny
I'll be like,
for her, funny for niece, funny for grandson. And it's like, it's never the relationship you're looking for. I gave an excellent card to my husband for his birthday that had like 3D pancakes on them because he loves breakfast for dinner. And it said, to my wife, crossed out wife, wrote husband. I do what I want.
That is the greatest statement. I think I'm in love. Hi. I think Lauren Chestnut, you guys, Chesnut, and it's at Dino Lore Rexnut, DinoLaurrexnut, Lauren Chestnut, no T, just the one T at the end.
Correct.
Okay. I don't know why, again, too precious. You just take a marker and go, yeah, no, this doesn't apply. I just write husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no reason why none of us, but I've never thought of doing that.
I just so loved weird. The card. It was also like a $9 card.
Right.
So, and I was like, it's so perfect. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
I tried to make it look nice.
Oh, did you? Did you try to turn wife into husband in some sort of weird, like, hieroglyph, you know?
I tried to kind of get it to fit on the thing, but it didn't really. And he doesn't care.
No. Did he laugh?
Yes.
There you go. So you got the laugh, I think.
Exactly.
I think you're so right. This is exactly what we need to do. We need to take back the card. You know, whatever card, just make it your own.
Well, and I was like, why is this card gendered? Do only women like pancakes? I think that's clearly false. Everyone likes pancakes.
A well-made pancake is a joy and a delight. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That does sound like a great card, though. And I like the idea that it would be such a thing, that they've taken the time to, because some cards are $9 and they're almost perfect. Yeah. And once you've purchased it, swear to God, it's yours. Mm-hmm. You cut it up. You could just, you could turn it into a ransom note because you mm-hmm. like the font. You could do whatever. Yeah.
It's true. You can.
Awesome.
You can.
What about, so you like them, but they don't say anything in the middle. But sometimes the birthday ones can be funny. And yeah, but it's usually the sympathy ones or the thank you cards that need to not say stuff in the middle. What do you ever send packages?
Oh, yeah.
The giving and receiving of packages. How's that coming along?
Oh, it's one of my favorite things. Okay. I'm a doting aunt. I have 4 nephews and 1 niece.
Okay.
But even before my siblings had kids, I'd send packages to people. I have one friend from grad school, and I don't even know how it started, but she lives in Idaho now. I just started buying her giant weird novelty pens. And every time I travel anywhere out of town, I will find some cheap crap with the name of the place on it, and I will gather them over the months, and I will send them in a garbage package for my friend Cynthia. I think she said she's got just a drawer full of pens. But, I love it.
Like, I have to say, at my bachelorette party, which ridiculously occurred in Las Vegas, I don't drink. I shouldn't gamble. And I like to go to bed early. So, but my friend TJ was like, I want to take you to see Barry Manilow. And I was like, oh, I want to do that forever. And so a bunch of us went, and my friend Mary Skinner from college purchased for me a pen that if you hold it one way, it's a guy. And if you hold mm-hmm. it another, and he's dancing, you turn mm-hmm. it over, he's naked.
Oh, the clothes.
Yeah. The clothes go away. That mm-hmm. is a novelty pen right there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I still have that pen somewhere, but it makes me want to go out in search of weird crap like that to send Mary Skinner here in our twilight years. Let's just find some nonsense. Spend it.
You've got $5 to $7 to spend on some useless item that your friend will laugh at, maybe never use. Who cares?
I know.
If you don't have that $5 to $7, fine.
Right.
And if you've got money to burn.
Right. If you've got some disposable income and you think that, I would say landfill wise, you may take that into consideration. That's between you and your God. But I have to say that it is important to make your friends laugh. And I think that this is one something that she's just got to go, oh my gosh, every couple of years, you're like, oh my gosh, I have a bag of nonsense that I've received from Laura. Is that what it mm-hmm. is? Okay.
Oh yeah. It's like for her, she gets special packages because she's my special friend that I buy junk for. So it's like a couple times a year.
Okay. Oh, there you go. You're saving up.
Yeah.
What about the nieces and nephews? Maria Bamford used to send her nieces and nephews wigs.
I haven't sent any wigs yet.
Wigs are expensive. I don't know where she was getting wigs, but she was like,
little.
And right. Well, I was sending everybody, a friend of mine has a toy store in New York City, and she had the best little kid costumes, and not Halloween costumes, just sitting around. You want to be a veterinarian costume. And so you want to be an astronaut, you want to be a chef, and they look like real uniforms, and they're made.
But they're tiny.
They're 5 to 11 years old, and then you're done. And I was like, please make them for 12 to 70 year old people, because everyone will. I would sit around in a firefighter outfit. I'm not made of stone. And but I said
the pants are very roomy. They look comfortable,
right? If it's a chilly day, you got layers. You're wearing mm-hmm. it's just the hat that's a little unwieldy anyway, but and reflective. So but the that kind of stuff, I like the idea of. And now my friend Augie Smith has kids, and I'm constantly like, I want to buy stuff for little kids. And mm-hmm. luckily
it's so fun.
Yeah. And it's just, I'm like, look, tiny, weird, rock science kit that I found. I don't know if the kids have ever done the rock science things, or if they just more liked the pickup truck that I bought them when they were one. No longer my thing. I did my part. It's so what are you sending? What are you dashing off to the nieces and nephews? How little are they?
They are between, I think the youngest one is 2 and the oldest one is 7.
Okay.
Perfect. Yes. So the oldest ones are, 2 of them are in first grade. Different brothers' kids are both in first grade. So they're reading a bit and that gets fun. I haven't said, because I always send them books.
Yes. I tend to send books too, because they get a lot of toys.
Yeah.
And, but I did have a sibling who only give their kid books, and I gave those kids toys.
See, that's how you do it.
It felt rude. If one person's covering one side of it, they don't need more of that. Give them the other side. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I try to find books like that store I Like You sells kids stuff a little bit, and they have like weird books. So I've sent them a couple from there, or something that's kind of like Minnesota adjacent, because they aren't going to have it already.
Right.
Like, I try not to buy them something from Target. Not that I never do.
Right.
But like they have Target.
Yeah.
They have Target in Washington State. Like they can get, like, mom and dad won't buy you this because you don't need it, but you could get it.
Right. Aunt Lauren, that's not your agenda. Your agenda is what don't you need? The only thing I never did, which was, is the joke idea, which you, with the nieces and nephews, is like drum kits, loud things. I'm like, oh, no, nobody wants that. I don't even want that. I like my siblings. Absolutely. Absolutely not. So,
yeah, no, I feel like they probably got enough on their hands raising small children.
Right. Right.
Without me making it harder. But
yeah.
Yeah, I always send them birthday, Christmas gifts. My one nephew, who really loves me, so he's my favorite. Don't tell him. He loves Halloween.
Sure.
So everyone's getting cards, but he's getting a special card, and he and his sister are getting special packs of Halloween stickers I picked out for them, like more than anyone else, I'm going to be honest.
Well, I mean, it's, some kids are just, to some extent, they're easier to buy for.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, all right, well, I know exactly what you like. So yeah. let's see it. And,
but that same nephew, and possibly maybe the most peak me moment of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was earlier. It was like in the winter. I was in a Cub Foods just doing my grocery shopping. They have a little stand of toys, the little ugly stuffed animals with giant eyes and car things. And there was a Postal Service van truck that the back opened and the side doors opened so you could put stuff in it. I brought that thing home, decorated it to say Lolo mail, because they call me Aunt Lolo.
Okay.
Lolo mail.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Made tiny packages and envelopes addressed to my nephew and filled it and sent it to them. And it was like, it was so fun for me. And they were delighted.
Yes.
My sister-in-law was like, oh my gosh, Lauren, you've outdone yourself. And I was like, it was really for me.
Right.
Did they love it? Great.
That's great. I'm psyched that they enjoyed it. It's okay. So if you're ever in New York, go to West Side Kids. This is for West Side Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it is over there on Amsterdam and like 84th Street, Upper West Side. And they have they have firefighters, but they also have veterinarians. And then they have doctors and lawyers, and they have like a little baby t-shirt that says Speaker of the House. And, you know, just weird, right? And I love the idea of that's so meta, is to make a postal truck that has postal stuff in it. Do you think that they opened those tiny packages or just a couple to see if there was anything in them?
I made it clear there's nothing inside, because
right.
I made tiny envelopes out of like neon paper.
Yeah.
But there's nothing inside. They're just glued together. But then I like scribbled on them to look like they had their address and stuff.
Ipsilorum. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'd be like Wyatt and then scribble, scribble. And then like a tiny sticker I made, like put on there for a stamp.
Yep. So much work.
Why did I spend hours on that? I don't know. It brought me joy.
Right. And the thing is it kind of soothing? Is it kind of, and the sense of accomplishment has got to be amazing, quite honestly. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah. I don't even know. So have you inspired other people to send you packages?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes people will send me packages. I'll get packages from
Amazon. That's less.
Sometimes. But sometimes there's something someone else bought.
Right. But
yeah, once in a while, my friend Cynthia will send me like the world's most amazing package of things that mostly aren't garbage because she's thoughtful.
Right.
But people will send me mail back and they'll be like, you're the only one who sends me mail. So I sent you a postcard when I was on vacation. I was like, I love it. Thank you.
That's it. I think that this is great. During lockdown, I was cleaning out closets and I found stacks of postcards. Like I found a book of postcards that I bought when I was at a railroad station at Amtrak. And it is different ads for Amtrak.
Oh, yeah.
Across the country. Uh-huh. And the weirdest thing is that I never used them. So during lockdown, I just pulled out, I have a list of like who I send postcards to when I go on vacation, like, you know, Andy's family, my family. And I just started sending out postcards. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to get rid of postcards that you've stacked in the house. And when you donate to something, they often give you a free card. You ever get those, mm-hmm. like the free Christmas cards and stuff? Do you ever use them?
Oh,
Amnesty
yeah.
International?
Or if you donate to a place, they'll send you free return address labels.
Oh,
I was like, I'm just going to cut off the part that has the Catholic Church on it because I donate to their homeless shelter. But it's got my name and address.
Right. Then I don't have to write that.
Right. I did just have to buy new return address labels the other night because I'm almost out.
You had to actually purchase them. Did you get to design them?
Yes. Well, I mean, they're like pre-made designs.
Okay.
But I usually get them from this website, Vistaprint.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can just get anything.
And if you're willing to have Vistaprint on something, like if they'll give you free business cards if one side of it can say Vistaprint.
Oh.
Nobody needs business cards. So don't sweat. No.
I'm not worried about it.
Now we've come to the part where I have to admit that I might have said this on the Dork Forest before. There is an app called My Postcard. Have you ever heard of My Postcard? There's probably a handful of postcard apps, and they're postcard apps. And you can, and I tried to do this where for my anniversary, I was out of town. I'm a monster. I think that's been established. It was our wedding anniversary. I had taken the gig. I was in Minneapolis. So I tried to send an anniversary card to my husband, and my postcard is great because you make the postcard on your phone in this app. You could upload pictures and insert them into the postcard. And then you type a short message, like 200, 300 characters. And then you can sign it with your finger. And then for $4, they print that card and mail it anywhere in the world.
Nice.
And it could be I think it's $1 or $2 for a postcard and $4 for a greeting card. And they're themed. You could always, you get a different template for them. And, sure. And there's extras you can do where they can open it up and there could be glitter. And I have tried to use that for the anniversary card and they failed, epic fail on putting the glitter in. But I thought about it and I thought, who would be sweeping up glitter in our home? It would be me because he would open it right by his desk and it would just all be all over the floor and he would care, but not enough. So I'm kind of glad. But my postcard, have you ever used those?
No, I haven't done that.
It's kind of a great way to send old people pictures.
Mm. Yeah. Well, my parents text. And
yeah.
I don't have children, so I have nothing to send them pictures of.
You could send
sometimes
them
my pet fish.
What kind of fish do you have?
I have a betta fish.
Oh, is that a long cigar looking fish?
No, they're little and they're also known as like fighting fish. They have like elaborate tails. They can't live with other fish because they will murder them.
Oh,
which
is interesting because that sounds like an alpha. I'll be over here riffing on names of fish. So what's the name of your fish?
His name's Kirby.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. We've had several at this point betta fish, but one at a time.
Right. They don't enjoy more than one at a time. Then you would have mm-mm. no betta fish or one very heavy, like a big betta fish that had eaten the other betta fish. But what I, for some reason, I have, you ever hook up your phone to your computer and it says sync, and then you accidentally put photos that your grandmother gave you onto a phone and you're like, I don't even know who this naked baby is from the 20s. And like, there's parts of me that want to send that photo right now to my dad and go, who is this? Is this you? Do you know this kid? And
he probably knows.
But here, I mean, the good news is I think we did Christmas cards using my postcard, which was a very expensive way to do Christmas cards last year. But we only did like 20 of them. So it was still, I think, $40 or whatever. I mean, that would have been $80. It was a lot. It was prohibitively. We won't be doing that again. But I do like I can send my sister-in-law a picture of my garden. She likes to garden. I could send, and granted, I could just text it to her, but it is kind of more interesting to send it, you know, snail mail. And
well, and then you can put it up, look at it all the time.
Right.
You have to like find it on your phone.
Yeah. Then she can throw it away after an undetermined amount of time of, you know, so. My dad loves getting them, and that's kind of cool. And then I sometimes like will order like books that I think he should read and just send them to him.
My dad does that.
And he's bored. So he's like, if I can read it in the bathroom, I'll do it. And I was like, TMI, good for you. And he's like, well, it's the history of the mob. I'm in. And so I like to mix it up because my dad is my dad. And because he's that. I mean, you gotta kind of pick for whoever you're sending it for. So what else do we want to, I mean, we're right kind of at the halfway mark here. We could switch it up. We go to a different dorkdom. What other things might you want to, packages, mail, receiving, sending?
I have a prop here. I don't know at what point the United States Postal Service decides that you're a mail dork. But at some point I ordered enough stamps online that they started sending me their magazine.
Yeah.
Philatelic. I think that's stamp collecting.
Oh, it's a stamp collecting.
Yeah.
I
have these actually, National Marine Safe. These are cute stamps. They've got cool animals.
And what do you think about the fact that it took 100 years for them to figure out that they could just make stamps from stickers? We don't have to lick them anymore. What a great idea.
Yeah. No, it's nice. There's some envelopes come with it. Like you just pull off the strip and then.
Again.
That's nice.
Smartest idea in the world where you're just like, I don't want to have to lick something. Have you ever gotten a paper cut on your tongue? I have.
Yes.
It's grim.
Or you'll get like a really gross envelope. Like what glue is this?
Right. What are you using? Is this arsenic? What would be a great way to kill somebody. So what about stamp collecting? So if they're sending you that, you're not just ordering regular, like a roll of flag stamps, I take it.
No.
I love the serious. No, Jackie. No.
No. Well, those are, first of all, boring. Second of all, that kind of represents a level of patriotism that might not be accurate to my actual level of emotion.
What if you stuck it on the thing upside down? What if you did that? Like the international distress symbol, flags upside down. Yeah. Because there is some distress. But what do you go for? We have pages and pages of Hot Wheels stickers because Andy collects Hot Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
What are you buying? Are you buying like the people? Like they often do a really cool, like they do authors, scientists.
Yeah. I don't usually buy the like historical figure ones. I try to go, I like a nature scene. I like a flower. I like cute. There's one, they came out these last year. They've got them again this year. Otters in the snow. They're just little pictures of otters playing in the snow. They're the best stamps ever invented.
Right.
Go get a thing of forever stamps with otters in the snow.
They got nothing to prove. They're willing to print up some otters in the snow, and they know that you want to see them. So yeah. All right. That's
I want to get these international stamps because there's a flat rate for postcards or like a regular like standard letter.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the world, it's $1.40.
Oh, really?
And you can just buy an international stamp, and they have these like round ones with different flowers on them right now. And I have some of those because I send postcards to like Europe and Asia and Australia. And $1.40.
We have what might be international stamps that Andy is consistently reminding me not to use because they are more money. They are not 55 cents. He's like, who used the Ursula Le Guin stamp? Because this is not, and I was like, it's just you and I. We don't have to, we don't have to ask.
It's not a mystery. No one sneak, like snuck
if
in your house.
If it wasn't you, it was me. It was, you know, who's doing this? Well, nobody, Jesus. Anyway, so. Clearly full of rage at the idea. But now his mom lives there, so maybe we could just blame everything on her. So what? Okay. So can you order stamps? Do they cost more money to order them? You have to pay shipping, I imagine.
No, it's free.
Comes
in the mail. You buy them on the website. They mail them to you through them. And you get a big thing. And last time, I guess I ordered enough that they gave me another copy of Philatelic. And I was like, I already got this edition, guys.
Yeah.
You sent it to me and I didn't ask for it.
Right. No,
but I don't use this. I mean, I don't like use it as a catalog.
Oh,
I just
go
on the website and look around.
Yeah.
That's where I'm not going to mail it back.
Is there a place to cut it out and mail it back? There is.
Yeah, you can, but
that feels, first of all, it feels like it's going to take longer.
Sure. And I'm still technically in my 30s. I'm not ready to just go full analog here.
Right. Right. It's did you ever see that movie, The Postman? Ever see that?
No.
Kevin Costner, post-apocalyptic postman. He knows people like to get mail. So he's committed to delivering mail from one burned out city to the next. I never saw it, but it sounded like a very nice novella that I would have read if it would have been 32 pages. I didn't want to sit through a 2-hour novel movie about it. So you ever mail anybody some puzzles? What about that transition? What about that?
Oh, no. I don't mail jigsaw puzzles. I have bought some online before, but
okay. Do you like jigsaw puzzles? Like real tactile jigsaw, not the ones on the screen? Do you have a jigsaw puzzle app? My mother-in-law.
No.
Okay.
I have like the New York Times like crossword app. Like I'll do a word puzzle or some dumb game puzzle on my phone. But I get a jigsaw puzzle. I have like a mat. I put it down on the floor. I have my little like puzzle nest with like cushions.
Yeah.
And I just get down there. I have a special cup holder so that I don't knock over my beverage.
onto the puzzle pieces? How many pieces in a puzzle? What's your favorite number?
Oh, favorite number?
Like a 500? A 12?
Oh,
what are we looking at?
1,500 to 2,000 is probably the sweet spot.
Wow. Okay.
Because, like, and I don't buy anything that's fewer than 1,000 pieces. It's a waste of my time.
Okay.
Because I will do it in like one evening.
Oh, you like will a put a puzzle.
Yeah, like a weekend evening. Like, I'm down in front of the TV at like 8 p.m. and then I stay up till like 3-4 a.m. because that's just what I do on the weekend, and I do a whole puzzle.
Yeah. Do you redo puzzles? Is there replay value on puzzles?
Yeah, I'll redo them. If I bought them new or someone gave them to me new, I usually hang on to them and do them more than once.
Okay.
But most of my puzzles I get from thrift stores.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a crapshoot.
That's because the volume I go through them, I can't afford to be buying new puzzles all the time.
Right, right. And then do you bring them back to the thrift store and go, mm-hmm. sell this to somebody else?
Yep.
What about, do you think that the thrift store puts them together to make sure all the pieces are there?
No, they don't.
And have you ever made a puzzle from a thrift store where it was missing some?
All the time.
Okay. But yeah. You're like, okay, well, I've run out of pieces. The chunk of this guy's arm is not available. Just put it back in the box.
Yeah, I just finished a 3,000 piece one, a big boy. It took me a couple weeks.
Yeah.
It was missing like three puzzles or three pieces. So it was like 2,997 pieces. But I didn't care.
No.
I took a picture of it, put it on Instagram anyway. Who cares?
Is your Instagram Dino Laura?
Dino Laura Rexman.
It's the same. Mm-hmm. It's the same as your
okay. The same as my
Twitter. Good for you. Because yep. I kind of want to see that. I like the fact that you're pretty mellow about it. Because there's some people are real completists and would just literally have tiny rage.
Yes.
That it was not.
Yeah, I get that. That's the main thing people ask me when they find out that I get them at thrift stores. They're like, but what if it's missing pieces? And I'm like, what if? I'll tell you the worst. Okay, I'm going to tell you about some puzzle faux pas people make when they donate their puzzles to thrift stores.
Okay.
And I assume that there's about 25 old ladies in the Twin Cities area who were all exchanging puzzles with each other.
Right.
Once in a while, you'll get one where, again, I assume it's a nice old lady, has circled on the box and says missing piece to show you where it's missing. Or write the date they did the puzzle and missing two pieces. It's so cute. That's not a faux pas. That's adorable.
No, that's adorable. That's actually very thoughtful. Yeah.
If somebody has not properly taped or rubber banded the box and then it just comes open and it's like, and you shake it and you're like, that's definitely nowhere near all of the pieces. Then I won't get it.
Right, right.
That's not cool. That's not cool. But people do this thing. I don't understand it, Jackie. They separate out all of the edge pieces, which is the first thing I do when I'm making a puzzle. Edges,
yep,
unless it's a weird shaped one, and then that doesn't always work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they put them in a separate Ziploc bag from the rest of the pieces.
Right.
And you know what I do?
What?
I open the Ziploc bag. I dump them into the rest of the pieces. I put the lid back on and I shake it up. And then I immediately go through them and take out the edge pieces.
That's part of the game. That's part of the, that is so crazy that is one thing that somebody's doing that doesn't make any sense.
All the time. I see it all the time.
Wow.
The craziest thing.
They think that they're helping too, right?
I guess. Mm. Or it's for them. I don't know. The craziest thing that happened was one time I did a puzzle where all the edge pieces were missing. So someone had separated out the edge pieces and forgot to put them in. And I was like, this puzzle, I just don't think there are any edges, because they were non-standard shaped ones. And some of them looked like they had straight edges. So it was hard to tell.
Yeah.
I did the whole thing.
Oh no my edges. Gosh. No edges. That is crazy talk. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll find weird items in a puzzle too.
Really?
Mostly like coins or like an earring.
Oh my gosh.
Or like a game piece or something.
Right, right. Someone has accidentally left a checker.
Or a piece to another puzzle. I feel like I'm guilty of that one. Because sometimes I'll find a stray piece and I'll be like, I think it goes in this one.
And then close it up and off to the Salvation Army.
Listen, Goodwill. Spending $4 tops.
Tops. It's true. And it's interesting. My mother-in-law loves puzzles. We don't have, it's very sad because in our house, we do not have anywhere. This room would be the place where she would do puzzles if she could do puzzles. There's nowhere for her to set up her puzzles, to do puzzles. And she can't really get down on her on hands and knees and do the floor. And dogs, we have dogs now.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's all kinds of, so we have, one year we bought her puzzles. And so we have three unopened puzzles that I would love to take to Goodwill for someone like yourself and be like, in the shrink wrap?
Oh, yeah.
$4? That'd be exciting, right? Is there themes that you like or you're willing to do anything? You just need a puzzle.
I can be picky about my puzzles. I want to like the picture.
Yeah.
Classic me is some kind of nature scene. Is there a mountain in front of a lake? Is it a beach scene? I like, a lot of times I like photos instead of like, there are all sorts of ones out there that are like, it's a like a painting that is of a farm and it's like cartoony kind of. And I don't want to do that puzzle. It's too easy. Too many straight lines.
Right. My dad, I noticed in his old people house, he painted that painting and he just hung it in their common area. Mm-hmm. And it's in that corner because I want to sort of figure out where to hang it. But it's just, you know, it's just a Wisconsin park with a deer and a creek. And it wasn't even a creek, Lauren. It was a crick. So, sure. And that's the kind of thing that could be turned into a, like, I could take a picture of that, turn it into a puzzle, I bet. Because they'll do photos into puzzles now, right? Have you ever done that?
I haven't done it, but I did a puzzle that was my friend's, it was like a gift from her ex or something. Yeah. It was like their dog and cat. So I did that puzzle of their dog and cat and she didn't want it back.
She didn't want it back. She was like, I had the dog and cat for as long as I wanted them and my ex. Yep. So the puzzle can go with all of them.
So I did it. And now someone else is doing my friend's dog and cat puzzle.
I kind of like the idea of that if you took a picture and turned it into a puzzle, because that there's got to be a handful of websites that'll do that. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, oh, you like puzzles. These are your grandkids. And you're like, yeah, why do I have to? Because you might be just a person who likes to do a horse. You ever like to do animals?
Yeah, I'll do animals.
Okay.
The one I just did is like a bunch of like African savanna animals who would never stand that close to each other in real life, but it's a fake picture. So I'll do that. If you ever like, sometimes around Christmas, I like want to do a Christmas one, but I refuse to do something that's like a Thomas Kinkade painting.
Yeah.
You know, those like fuck Thomas Kinkade first and foremost.
Right. Right. Unless you love Thomas Kinkade, Thomas Kinkade can set you off in the wrong direction. Yeah. You're like, you either have to love him ironically or you have to genuinely look at that and go, aw. But I am neither of those persons. But somebody out there is, and that dork force can occur. If you need a rebuttal time, anybody listening, Rangers, come on, tell me your Thomas Kinkade love. It's fine by me. So, but yeah, a regular Christmas. It's sort of like I'll read a Christmas romance novel sometimes, but they're they're very specific. There has to be, they have to be traveling in the early 1800s and get stopped at an inn that wasn't expecting any people. So
is there only one bed?
Sometimes there's only one bed. Nah, there's always two beds. They end up just using one bed by the end of it. But sure. And I'm, but sexy times, yes. But for the most part, they fall in love when they find out that they both are willing to clean up, to clean something. It's almost always the story of he's willing to go chop wood, even though he's like an earl or something. And
right.
She doesn't know how to cook, but is willing to learn from the local ladies. And and then it's pretty, it's not, it's the Thomas Kincaid of books to some extent.
It's like the Hallmark Christmas movies, the romances.
Some people love those.
I really like them. They are not good. Occasionally you'll get a decent one, but they're not good. But it's like crappy cookies that have enough frosting on them that you're like, I don't know, kind of good.
they're the free pizza of food. And,
exactly.
Right. Maria Bamford used to have a pizza night. I don't know why I'm telling this story again. I'll tell you why, because she once made fun of me because I said this to her. She used to have she would have people over, order like a half a dozen pizzas, and it was the worst pizza in the world. Didn't matter. She doesn't really eat pizza. She'll eat the topping off of one piece of pizza. She's done. The rest of us are like, oh, pizza. And then you eat it and you're like, cardboard. Mediocre cheese. Here's what I need. So one time I said to her, are you going to have a pizza night? Can I throw some money toward the pizza? Then we'll get a different kind of pizza. And she was like, what just happened? And I was like, yes, you're right. I don't like the pizza you choose. And it became a point of contention for a heartbeat. I still think about it because she called me out on stage. She said, you ever invite somebody over for pizza and they make fun of the pizza you've ordered? Jackie Cation by name. Anyway, food puzzles. I'm gonna try to bring it back to a dork to in any way, shape, or form. The Last Supper, anything?
I've done The Last Supper. I've done The Last Supper. Yeah, a few. If you get like a nice 70s, I'll do a vintage one that's like pictures that I wouldn't necessarily otherwise do, but like the fox, it's so old that I'm just like, this is all going to be, it's all just like a little bit yellow, which I assume is what the 70s looked like.
There was a yellowish sepia on absolutely even the sun.
That's what my grandma's basement looked like into the 2000s. So
it was before the EPA got any sort of power. So yes, you are correct. There was always a little bit of a shade over all your major metropolitan areas.
Yeah. And I've gotten to the point where there's some pictures I won't do.
Okay. Let's leave on that. Yeah.
Too many times.
Too many.
One of them is, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like an island or a coastal town in Italy. It's called like Cinque Terre or something.
How do you spell
it? Like the number 5, Cinqueterre.
Okay.
It's this adorable fishing village, and it's all these different colored houses up on this cliff, and then there's the beautiful ocean. I've done that.
You've done your share.
Village from so many angles, different puzzles, different sizes. I'm not doing it anymore.
And if anybody wants to know what it looks like, just go to your Google wallpaper because it comes up. The other one?
It's called, it's a German castle. It's like Neuschwanstein Castle. Okay. Yeah. It's very famous. It's very scenic. It looks like a fairy tale castle, and it's in the beautiful mountains.
Is it nestled
in Germany?
Is it nestled?
It is 100% nestled. It is in there. It's beautiful, and I've done it from different angles, different seasons, and I can't do Neuschwanstein again.
Well, I think that really sums up the good and not the bad. Not that you were unwilling to do it, but this has been a celebration I've had a blast is what I'm saying, Lauren. This has been a really good Dork Forest. Thank you so much for doing the Dork Forest. Everyone, Lauren Chestnut, no T in the middle, Chesnut. Chestnut. So, and the handle is DinoLoreRexNut. So DinoLaurerexNut. And that's on Twitter and Instagram. Yep.
If you want to see puzzle pictures.
Puzzle pictures, sketch and improv, probably all over the Twin Cities. Always looking for work. If somebody has any of that, feel free to give it to Lauren Chestnut.
Sure.
We can't totally. Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I obviously love talking about this because it's what I spend most of my time on.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?